You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Okay, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 25. Of which I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing upon this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
We're going to pick up our lesson, our study in all truth. We're coming to a conclusion of it. I don't think we'll finish it today. But I think today you're going to get a blessing out of what we're going to study, because not only are we going to see this primary verse in front of us, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, how important it is, but we're also going to see that sometimes when traditional Christianity and teaching misses the mark, it's still a good lesson. It's still a good lesson. There's a basis for it oftentimes. Our focus today will be in verse 27. And particularly in verse 27, we're going to look at that aspect about not just this mystery among the Gentiles, but what this mystery is, and it goes on to tell us, which is Christ in you. And that's what our focus is going to be on today, and there's two aspects of that that we're going to look at. And I think the first aspect, which is not the primary aspect, will be a blessing, but I think the primary aspect will keep our rudder in the water. You need your rudder in the water so that your ship, when the wind blows the sails, your ship is steered correctly. Let's pray. Father, do thank you for your word and what an impact it has in our life as we spend time studying it, reading it, meditating on it, hiding it in our heart, learning, Father, that it is perfect in all that it accomplishes. And, oh, Father, what a great accomplishment it had in us at one time when we looked to you and we said, save us, help us, deliver us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We praise you. We ask now that your Spirit takes the things of Christ, makes them real to each heart need here this morning, and that each heart, that if it's being compressed, if it's being pressured by the cares of this world, if it's dealing with some ache, some grief, some sorrow, that it might be comforted. If it's dealing with some desire to know you, to acknowledge your Son and the fullness of who he is, that it might be revealed to them, that they might understand that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. If that heart, Father, is seeking to just learn how to live a life that brings honor and glory, that it might be filled to the full. So, Father, we thank you as you attend to this through your Spirit. And we thank you for these graces, Father, in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We have been studying, and I'm going to give a brief, summary of what we've been studying in these verses. And you can see that it begins in verse 25, that Paul was given a ministry. And most of what we've studied has dealt with this ministry, although we began with the idea that God had another truth, an all truth that he wanted to convey, and that he didn't give that all truth to the disciples, nor did he give all that truth to his apostles. But it's not until we get to the epistles of Paul that we see that Paul was given that all truth, but not all that truth was given to Paul's epistles that he wrote during the Acts period. Now, how many here can, and let me have by a show of hands, I'm not going to ask you, so you can lie. How many of you know what epistles Paul wrote during the Acts period? You could name them, couldn't you? Okay, so you know what epistles Paul wrote during the prison period. And it's important to know that, because not all truth is shared to us in the epistles written during the Acts period. And we'll see that. We're going to look at Galatians, which is one of the epistles. We'll stop there for a moment today. We're going to have a little bus stop today, I guess, on different places down the road. on our way to getting to this one facet of God's important message for us. And Paul was the minister of that. That's what he says there in verse 25. He said, I've been made a minister according to a dispensation. So it wasn't just some Johnny come lately or I'm just another speaker of the same thing. This is a special dispensation given to God. I mean, given to Paul by God. And notice it's not just a special dispensation. It's given to us. It was given to him for you, for us Gentiles. That's the first thing. See, it's always there's always a messenger and there's always a message. There's always a minister and there's always a ministry. And the messenger here is Paul. And the ministry, he says, look at it, you'll see it. Verse 26, even the mystery. It's the mystery that Paul says in the last part of verse 25 is to fulfill the Word of God. It's the mystery. That's what he calls it. We should call it that too. It's the mystery which completes the Word of God. God's Word is filled to the full. And that's what Paul says. He says in verse 26, even the mystery. And so that there's no doubt, he says, so that this mystery has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. He says it a different way over in Ephesians. Hold your place there in Colossians, your right hand, and go over to the left with your left hand in Ephesians chapter 3. He says in verse 9, and many times we refer to the scripture that's up on the wall, but it's good for us to look in the Word. In verse 9 of Ephesians 3, he says, and to make all see, that's saints, you'll notice that men is in italics, all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. To the intent, verse 11, that now, boy, what a wonderful word that is, that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Come back to Colossians. So we see it there a little differently. We see that it was hidden in God, but here we see in verse 26 that it was hidden from ages and from generations, from time and from people. From time and from people. So that we see here something unique, something absolutely unique and unforeseen, revealed for the first time. And who is it revealed to? His saints. People who have, through the acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, the payment of sin for their the payment of penalty for their sin debt, have received Him and have turned to God and become, because of that acknowledgement, the children of God, His saints. And in verse 27, we see the heart desire of God, that to these saints, God's desire, fellow, it's not that He will make it known, but that He would. Gives that it's a wish, but it's not a commandment. It's not a mandate. It's His desire that these saints would know what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. See, God didn't have a special message for us. God didn't have anything that belonged to us Gentiles. Everything was through the Jew. From Genesis chapter 12 to Acts chapter 28, the only time that a Gentile could enjoy the blessing of God is that it had to come through His channel of blessing, the Jew. That didn't begin when Jesus was born and He came on this earth. It was still to the Jew. Let's look at that. Go with me to Matthew, and let's just look at two quick verses in Matthew. It doesn't hurt to read, to go over this. Matthew chapter 10, when He begins His ministry with the 12, look what He says to the 12. In verse 5, these 12, Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Excluded. Not a part. We had no hope. We had no promises. We had no covenant. We had no relationship. Or as He says over in Ephesians, we were without hope because we were without God in the world. We had no relationship with Him. Look at Matthew chapter 15. He brings it so home, so clear here. How do we miss this? How does the modern church miss the clear declaration that he'd been sent to none other than the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 24. He answered and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to Romans chapter 15. Paul brings this home again during the Acts period, that our particular relationship with God was through the Jew and not apart from the Jew, separate and distinct and independent. We were beholden to them. In Romans chapter 15, Paul says in let's start with verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's not you, and that's not me. We're uncircumcision. He was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Now here's that bringing the Gentiles in, and we looked at that. This was Paul's My Gospel. And here's where the Gentiles come in, but not independent and separate from Israel, but as a part of. This is through Israel and through the grace of God, but not through a dispensation of grace, because that hadn't been made known yet. Because the law still applied. The law still applied. So from Genesis chapter 12, when God gave to Abraham the promise that through him all the nations of this earth would be blessed, until Acts 28, that promise still held true. Well, let's look at it. Are there in Romans? Go a couple of books over to Galatians. And let's look at a picture of it. Now, why I'm spending a little more time on this? Because I want you to realize how important it is when we read this, that God would like to make known unto His saints the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This is how important it is, because up until that point, they, the Gentiles, had no riches. They only had the riches of Abraham. If you're with me there in Galatians chapter 3, let's start even in verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they who are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham? Now, if you don't rightly divide Scripture, you'll start thinking, okay, this applies to me. I'm of faith. You're of faith. That's how we walk. We walk in faith. And it's not only how we walk, but it's how we came to this. We came to this in faith. By grace are ye saved. Through what? Through faith. But it's not anything that you can boast of. It's the faith of Christ in God, and that's what we've been given. Just even as Abraham has been accounted righteousness here because he believed, even so we are accounted righteousness because we believe. But if we don't rightly divide, we think then that this applies to us, and it doesn't. He goes on in verse 8, and the Scripture. So, the faith that we see in Abraham was found in Scripture. Verse 8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There we have Genesis chapter 12. So then, they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So we see then that the believer, during the time that this was written, during the Acts period, is one who is brought into the blessings, the faith, who is brought in to the blessings through faith by Abraham and that which was given to him. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that... See that? Now, what follows is connected. You imagine a train, and you know the little connecting links on a train, and you know one car is separated from another until all of a sudden, boom, they hit, and those little couplings latch onto each other. That is that kind of a word. It just latches the next verse. In order that the blessing of Abraham, so through the curse that Christ got, the believer now is accounted into the blessing of Abraham, that it might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now hold that word promise there. Let's read further. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man annulleth or added to it. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. We had promise, that pertains to Christ, and now we have promises, and guess who that pertains to? Abraham and the nation of Israel. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The interesting study, you can check, you can spend more time with it, looking at seeds and seed, promises and promise. But let me tell you, what God is saying here during the Acts period in Galatians is that the only time the Gentile is going to enjoy any blessing is through Abraham and the promise that are given, that have been given to him and his seed. Those promises only belong to Israel. Now we know that, and that's why it's so important for us to distinguish and differentiate when it says, come back to Colossians with me, verse 27. Let's just say, to his saints, God desires to make known of the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Because up to this point, the Gentiles had nothing independent and separate of their own. Well, what is it? What is it? He goes on to tell us, which is Christ in you. But you know, that's not an accurate translation. It's not Christ in you. It's really Christ among you. It's the same word. It's the Greek preposition in that is translated just prior to that, where he says this mystery among the Gentiles. It's the same preposition. When it's used with a plural, like Gentiles, it is translated among. And when it's used in a plural in the next phrase, which is Christ among you, it should be translated among. Now, Adam Clark dismisses it, and so do many others, with a casual little comment. Adam Clark, you know, was an Irish missionary, came out of the Wesleyan movement in Northern Ireland. And he wrote a commentary called Adam Clark's Commentary. Of the five or six that are well known, it is one of those five or six. It belongs in the top five. Pretty high distinction, because many men have written commentaries. In most, in all of your Bible studies, in your seminary schools, or any of your software programs, or in any of the libraries, you'll find a copy of Adam Clark's commentary. And Adam Clark, he said, should it be said that the preposition, I'm quoting him, should it be said that the preposition in, E-N, it's the Greek word E-N, in the passage of Colossians 1:27 should be translated among? Well, it amounts to the same thing. Now think about that. That's how quickly he dismisses it. He says it amounts to the same thing as Christ in you. Now think about the gloriousness of the fact of the indwelling Christ. Think what great joy there was in the life that first believed on him and he felt that power come inside. Where does that power come from? What is it the joy that is felt when eating a banana for the first time as a little child? Ooh, this is good. Or a snow cone. Do you remember your first snow cone? You remember, boy, you just tried to suck up that syrup. Oh. I mean, is that the kind of joy that we're talking about? No, it's something that far exceeds that. It's the joy of knowing that, number one, you are a sinner. Number two, that God has paved a way or provided a way so that your sin debt could be met. And number three, Christ paid that sin debt. And all of a sudden, the greatest, heaviest burden in life has that you ever, 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 ever felt. Because up to that point, you never felt it. But that one moment you felt it changes your whole life. Changes everything. From that point until now. From that point and forever, you have been redeemed. You have been set free. You have been given eternal life. What a change. What a change. That is Christ in you. That is the and then begins the joy of experiencing that, the power that comes from that, because all of a sudden now you know the difference between what? Right and wrong. Now you can choose this day whom you will serve. Before, you couldn't serve anything but what? Sin. And so there's a great joy and there's a great glory that comes from this idea of Christ in you, which is Christ in you. But he dismisses it and says Christ among you is the same as Christ in you. And that's not true at all, is it? Stop and think about that. There's a difference about knowing that Christ is among us, that Christ has now taken a position separate from Abraham, apart from Abraham, independent from Abraham, and says, I have a relationship with all of mankind. That's unique. Something totally unforeseen, but Christ in you, and that's something you need, Christ in you, but it doesn't belong here. But since it's here, I want to take a minute and I want to look at it. I think it's important to us because every day is a challenge for us in experiencing this. The old man. We're told to put off the old man. We're told to put on the new man. Let's go to Romans and look at this. Romans chapter 6 is where it begins. You know, I think of Nicodemus and I think of what he had to go through. And you know, this wise sage, he went to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a great teacher, for no man can do these miracles except that he does them by God. And Jesus looked at him and he says, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter. He says, seeth the kingdom of God. Nicodemus goes, what? Wait a minute. How can an old man enter back into his mother's womb? That kind of thing's not possible. Jesus said to him, he said, yes. He said, it's not just being born of the flesh, of the water and the blood. It's being born of the water and the Spirit. Because what is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And what is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. There is a uniqueness that takes over in that transformation. Now, don't misunderstand. It's not a what's the word I wrote down here? Where's my notes? You're not reforming an old person. So when you came to know Christ as your personal Savior, it's not just, okay, I'm going to get to be better. I'm going to be a different person. Yeah, that's like the banana and the snow cone. It's really not that at all. It's also not a replacement, because guess what? It's still here. You see it? Same flesh. Pretty much the same attributes. You know, that's something that was really a strong truth for me to understand. First applied to my dad. I, of course, didn't know my dad in his younger age. I didn't know him until, he was 36 when I was born. So really, I didn't start to know my dad until maybe 25 years later. I mean, you know, don't you go through that stage, you remember that, and you know, you grow up wondering if they'll ever learn anything, and then you start getting that stage and go, man, they're starting to get all this down now. It took them long enough. It takes a long... So I really didn't know, and you don't know. But pretty much, the people that you do know, if you've known them for a long time, they don't change much. They're pretty much the same, you know, if they got a good laugh, they got a good laugh. They tell a good story, they still tell a good story. Some of the things they try to clean up, they may not smoke, they may not drink, they may give up certain music, they may give this up and that up and that up and this up. But you know what? That's not the new creature. Because there's not a thing that you can do to touch the new creature. That new creature, that new creation in you, is of God. That's the indwelling of Christ in you. And the only one who can work on that is God. You can't do a thing with that. Now, I'll tell you what, when we finish this, we'll finish this in a week or two, we ought to go back and look at that study on the two natures in the child of God by Bullinger. That would be good for us to study it. We'll spend some time with that. Because there is a confusion about that. You can't make it better. I mean, you can make how you can begin to eliminate things out of your life so that there's more room for Him to fill it. You see what I'm saying? You can take things out. You know, you can take the cursing out of your life and you can fill it with blessing. Sometimes you don't want to. I'd just soon not say anything about them at all if all I have to say is something good. That's a real twist on it, isn't it? Mama used to say, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Well, if all I've got to say is something nice, I won't say anything at all. Just let them sit there. People try and bless them when they do. And recognize they all do it differently. But the only one who can accomplish what is to be accomplished in the new you is God. We're in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. This begins now with this new creation. What shall we say? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this is dealing with the law and understanding the application of sin in our life and now dealing with what the law and what it presents, but also dealing with the fact that we are sanctified because we're sanctified through being identified with Christ. Verse 2. God forbid then, let's don't keep sinning so that grace can abound more. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we have newness of life. It's not an old thing that's reformed. It is absolutely new. And this word means totally new. It's something totally new. Verse 6, we see the first declaration of what this is. Know this, that your old man is crucified with Him. That's the old man has got to die, but he's a tough as an old army boot. Doesn't give up easy. And Paul tells you that. He wrestles with that. He gives us explanations on how to do it. He says in verse 6, it's the law that's going to help me understand and recognize this, or chapter 6. Chapter 7, he says, I can't do it. And I find out because the law says I recognize it, I can't do it on my own. Look at chapter 7, verse 15. That which I do, I understand not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. In other words, what I want to do, I can't do it. Why is that? Because there's another thing dwelling in you. And it's you. It's all that stuff that's you. It's not the new you, it's the old you dwelling in you. Look at verse 17. Now then it's no more I, that's the new creature, the new creation. It's no more I that do it, but it's sin dwelling in me. And sin is just another name for the old man. Don't miss that. It's not Geraldine. Flip Wilson. Oh, the devil made me do it. It's not that at all. It's you. You harbor those thoughts. You have that action. You make those statements. That idea of sin dwelling in you is a picture of the old you. That's another name for the old nature. See, the old nature can't understand anything of God. No matter how gifted or how moral or how refined you are, you can't understand a thing of God. The things that pertain to the flesh are of the flesh, and the things that pertain to the Spirit are of the Spirit. There's not a thing that we can find that we can glory in, and that's what Paul says. Look at verse 18. Still Romans 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, see, flesh is another name for the sin that is you, that is the old nature, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So there's that's dwelling in you. And when we'll do this study because this is good for us to try to grasp and understand, who am I? Who am I that has this new creature in me and this sin dwelling in? Who am I, body, soul, and spirit? What is this? Let me tell you, that old you is dead. That new you is that life of Christ. Born of God, born of the Spirit, born of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which dwells in you. That's the important dwelling. This other dwelling, Paul says, you'll be delivered from in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. "So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." There's a battle, there's a striving going on. So when we see this phrase, "Christ in you," there's an importance to it, but it's not rightly divided from Colossians. It's not. It's taken out of context. But there is an importance to it, and we need to understand it, and we need to recognize that there is this battle that goes on. There is this, as Paul says in Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ." What's the next word? "Nevertheless, I live." Well, what a quagmire to be in. Because, see, it's in those situations then that all of a sudden I begin to lose my perspective of who I am and who you are. And I don't mean you looking at yourself. I mean me looking at you. You're a child of God. I don't know what He's doing in your life. I don't know what He did in the life of your ancestors to get you to where you are. And I don't know what He's doing in your life that will have an effect on your ancestors to get them where He wants them to be a generation or two from now. Do you? How do we understand these things? We can't. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, we just wrestle with that. God calls these the cares of the world. Yeah, the thing that you're supposed to know is the work that's going on the inside is His work. So when you lose a husband, you lose a wife, you lose a son, or you lose a daughter, or you have some sin committed against you as a wife or a husband or as a child, or you have some complication through finances or failure or job or employer or neighbor, or even if your dog bites you. You've got someone in you who is nurturing you and caring for you and seeing you through this. It's not those of us that are really around you, although some of us are good comforters, and some of us are understanding, and some of us are helpers. But it's really Christ that we're to be looking at. You know what I'm saying? When Jesus showed up, and Martha and Mary had just buried their brother 4 days before, a little irritated because he waited so long to come up. Excuse me. When Jesus showed up and Martha and Mary buried Lazarus, did Jesus walk up and put His arm around them and say, "You know, he's in a better place. You know, we may be hurting now and grieving now, but he's doing a lot better." You know people like that, right? You know what He did when He walked up there? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. It's John chapter 8. That's not right, is it? It's John chapter 11, verse 35. What is it? Jesus wept. Do you think that He doesn't know and understand what you go through? I go through? Do you think that He's not? He is touched, the Bible says, by what? Our infirmities. So when these things happen, you need Christ in you. You need to realize that's the most important thing, is Christ in you, what God is doing in you. Not this other stuff. I mean, you know, you'd like to, but you can't control it. You have to wait on Him and Him in their life. But Christ in you, when you have cares, and these cares, remember in the sowing, there's three soils? Actually, there's four. But the third soil, and the thorns, and the seed goes out, and it gets out there among the thorns, and it begins to grow up, and the thorns are what? The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world, and what does it do? It begins to choke them out. Well, see, that's a problem. Because, you know, here you are, you're growing up. Well, I'm getting choked out, man. You know, I've got sports, and I've got school, and I've got work, and I've got some assembly, and I've got this, I've got that, and I've got my cousin, I've got my aunt, and I've got my yard, and I mean, all these things just start, too many things. And it starts to choke. Choke what? Choke out that relationship with God, where that new man can be put on. And you can begin to enjoy the things. Not being anxious. Not being anxious. See, when God says through Peter, He says, casting all your cares upon Him, because why? He cares for you. He weeps with you. He cares with you. All of these things matter. That's Christ in you. We're not to diminish that. That is so critical, because even as John said, I must decrease so that He can what? Increase. That is important in us. You know, they call it psychology. That's what the important buzzword. That's psychology today. It had nothing to do with psychology. It just so happened that most of the modern day teachers grew up on the word that came when psychology in the late 19th century, Freud and all of them began, and Maslow and all of them began to, you know, develop this wonderful, isn't wonderful, school of thought, psychology and psychotherapy. It entered the church, and so most of the teachers today grew up with this. And that's why it's so prevalent today. It permeates every aspect of our life, and it keeps our focus on those cares instead of putting our focus on what? On that new creature inside that's supposed to grow through these spiritual things. That's important. Come with me back to Colossians. You go ahead and read chapter 8 of Romans, and you'll see you have the indwelling of God, the Spirit of God, you have indwelling of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. You have all three. You are complete. Nothing to be added to as a new creation in Christ. There's not anything, because that newness never sins. But according to what we put into our life, we'll either choke it out, you know, choke it down so that it really can't flourish. You know, it's like a garden. And it's like me going out there. Now, the only thing I can do in that garden is I can just start pulling up those rocks and those sticks. And, oh, there's a weed. And I can pull up a weed here, and I can pull up a weed there, and I can clean it out. Now, I haven't got any seed because I'm not the creator of seed. All I got is just a lot of works. But here's that garden, and it's all cleaned out and everything, but there's not a thing I can do with it because I don't have the seed. I'm not the seed man. There is one who's the seed man. The spiritual seed now can be thrown into that garden. But that doesn't come from me. I took out drinking, just as an example. You know, I took out football. Better forget it, huh? Better not do that. No, I can take those things out, but I've got nothing to put in because there's not a thing that I can put in that's worth a hoot into that work. You see what I'm saying? God's got to start growing in that. It's His stuff that's got to start growing in that garden that's me. And the man who is self-reformed is six, seven times worse off than he was before, because if the garden doesn't get anything spiritual in it, what happens? You ever seen a garden like that in about 2 weeks? It's just terrible. It's just grown over with weeds and it's covered. Okay, that's you remember that story about the guy in self-reformation there in Matthew? That's what I'm talking about. Doesn't do any good. God's got to work on that garden. Now see in verse 20, you're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. God wants to make known something wonderful to us. This is unique and independent and separate from Abraham. This is a new dispensation. It's something that was hidden from ages and generations. It's the mystery. And it's Christ among us Gentiles. We never had that hope before. We never had those promises. We never had those blessings. I wrote something too. See if I can find it. I might not be able to. I think I wrote it in one of my margins in my Bible. So it'll pop out at me if I can remember something about it. The neat thing from Genesis chapter 12 to Acts 28, all these promises and this hope belonged to Israel. But now God in this begins something new and different, unforeseen and unique, something that is independent and separate. And the amazing thing is that Israel never, never knew that this was going to happen because it was hidden in God. Israel knew that the Gentiles were going to come in, but they were going to come in as a second-class citizen, as a servant, as a caretaker. That's what the prophecies say. We've looked at those. But now, not only are we going to have an independent relationship with God as Gentiles, we also have a blessing that they've never even heard of or even foretold. In the heavenlies far above. Now see, that's what the next phrase is talking about. Which is Christ among you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Up until that point, the hope, the only hope that mankind had was the promises here on the earth to Abraham and the kingdom here on earth and New Zion coming down. But look at this hope. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, our life, and He is our life, and I spent a lot of time talking about that. I hope that sunk in. It'll sink in more, I think, when we do the study. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him. Where? That's the hope of glory, in glory. Not contingent upon whether or not Abraham or Israel responds. Only contingent upon your acknowledging and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What a wonderful verse that is. And we need to remember that it's not Christ in you, although that is a wonderful doctrinal statement of redemption. Because, see, His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what teaches me that He who is in me is greater than all that the world could ever throw at me. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, He is more powerful than any of that. And so for that hope, like He, I have set before me a being with Him in glory. I look at that, and that is the joy that gets me through each day, each hour. Each problem, each circumstance. You too. Okay, that's enough. We'll quit with that. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed studying it. I hope you enjoyed the lesson. We're going to pick this up because we're going to finish up what our job, not next week. Next week we're going to do patriotic, but the week after we're going to, I hope, finish up and see the completion of this, because now we have a responsibility to others. Those that have seen this light, they have been enlightened through right division, and studying what God calls the mystery, we have a responsibility to share this fellowship with other people. And we've got to do it in a way that, you know, God has called us to do it. We'll study that too. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank You for Your words lighting of the path in which we're to follow. We thank You, Father, that we trust that Your word has been complete. We know that there's not one iota or tittle left that we need to worry about, that You have finished. And that finished product came from the pen of Paul, the apostle to us Gentiles, and the blessing of the dispensation of grace and the setting aside of a hope that Father has made us joint partakers of the glory that Your Son has, our Savior, the head of we who represent His body. Oh, what great truths these are. And how important it is for the heart to keep them foremost in the front of the mind as we deal with life's ordeals. We thank You, Father, for what a great sacrifice You made. We thank You for a great calling in the heavenlies above. And Father, may we bring honor and glory to it in all that we do. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.